Well, let's pray. Thanks for joining me. It is really great to be here with you today. Hey, coming up in a minute, I want to share with you a great story that I actually wrote about, put it in my book, on Divine Mercy. And I'll tell you about a commandant from a very horrible concentration camp and how mercy can transform the hardened of hearts. And I hope you're doing all right today. I know we all have crosses and challenges and difficulties, right? You know, of uncertainty about life. I think it's one of the great tests of life is not knowing the future, not knowing how those test results are going to turn out or whether we're going to have our job or, you know, how you're going to make ends meet. And it comes down to really relying on God, walking with Him and trusting Him. And that is the test of life. It really is. I mean, to be in union with Him and to trust Him completely. I mean, Faustina had to learn that, and she did. And her union was so close that she wanted nothing but the Lord. And I think about that sometimes. I think, I wish I could get to that point where everything, every beat of my heart, every breath, every thought is directed towards the Lord. I shared the story. My daughter pointed out a quote in a diary to me. And in the diary, it talked about how the Lord wanted to give her anything she wanted. He promised He'd create a new world for her. And she says, "No, Lord, you are all I want." And that's where our heart should be. We should reach that level where you don't worry about your future or your retirement or how much money's in your bank account or whether or not, you know, this person's going to convert. I mean, I know that those are all serious concerns for everybody. But if you're with God, you have no fear, right? Because you know He's on your side. If He can create worlds, if He can create the universe, He can certainly resolve whatever the problem is in your life. He can certainly remove that obstacle. You know, miracles can and do happen. Happen all the time. So a lot of people have written to me asking for prayer, and I'm grateful. Last night I sat up and was answering emails, and I read every email that comes in. I can't always write just because of the volume that I get, but I thought I'd share a few of these. This person says, "Could you please include the repose of the soul of Charles? He's my neighbor's 21-year-old son. He died in a car accident this morning. Can you keep his parents, Dennis and Joyce, and their sister Kathleen in your prayers during this troubling time?" That's rough. I remember my aunt, she lost my cousin. She went to Morocco and died in a car accident. The girl was only 16 years of age. I mean, it's devastating to lose somebody so young. So my heart goes out to you. Another person, I'd like to ask prayers for my nieces and nephews who struggle with mental illness and who are away from the faith. It's a daily battle for them. It's just so hard to see them suffer. And I ask prayers for my brother who's currently incarcerated and struggles with alcoholism. That's something that's often overlooked, isn't it? Mental illness. Let's pray for those who struggle with schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or any form of mental challenge that might be out there. I ask God to heal and really, you know, bring relief to those souls. Another person says, "Could you pray for my sister Diane? She was diagnosed with ovarian cancer 2 years ago. She had 3 rounds of cancer over time. She now has an abscess on her liver. Doctors are having a hard time treating her. She's thin and frail. Could you pray for her husband, David, who's been taking such good care of her, as well as her daughters and families?" Christine from Wilmington. Christine, I'll be glad to do that. My heart goes out to the families because it's not just the person who's suffering from cancer. The family itself really carries the cross. And my heart goes out to anyone who's got a loved one battling with cancer. I want to pray for the soul of Rhonda Zweber. I just received a letter in the mail today. This was a woman who came in and prayed to chapel with me earlier, and Haley wrote to me today and said, "Hey, could you pray for my mom?" And we'll pray for the repose of all the souls that have gone before us. I'm in the studio today with my colleague Jennifer.
Hello.
Hello, J-Lo. How you doing? I'm D-Mar. You're J-Lo. I'm going to have dinner with Patrick Madrid tonight. I call him P-Mad. So, anything you want to pray for?
Yes, I would just like to pray for anyone who's suffering right now, whether it be mental, physical, spiritual. I just want to pray that they feel God's love and comfort in this moment.
All right, we'll definitely lift that up. Another intention here, asking for the healing of broken families. I want to lift that up. And then one final one here, too, I'll sneak in. This from Lebanon, Pennsylvania. This is bizarre, but this is the second time I heard that something like this. Please pray for Karen. A tree fell on her a few days ago, and she has a traumatic spinal injury at the base of her skull. She's having surgery to stabilize the C1 and C2, but despite that, two more surgeries to put in a trach tube, feeding tube, colostomy tube, and she'll be a quadriplegic the rest of her life. She really needs a miracle for complete recovery. I have a colleague here, we both do, whose mother was struck by a falling tree as well. And I just find that so bizarre, something like that would happen. But boy, what a tragedy. You're walking and healthy one day, and the next day you're quadriplegic. So Lord, I ask for miracles for those who are seeking them and need them. And we turn to you now as we lift up all these intentions and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today. We'll go to Denise listening in St. John, Indiana. Hi, Denise.
Drew, can you hear me?
I can. Yeah, crystal clear.
Okay. I'm sorry. You just sort of went out. I have a very special request. I have a three-year-old great niece, my nephew's daughter. The mother and he are no longer together due to drug and alcohol problems on her part. To the extent things that have gone on the last 2 years of this little child's life, the courts finally gave my niece to her father. So you can imagine how bad things have to be. But
wow.
Now she is reacting in daycare out against other children. She is now having this big fear. If she hears a sound or she's playing, and she'll point and tell who she calls mommy now. She'll say, there's a monster standing there. And what we think is happening is a combination. She has not seen her mother since they took her away 2 months ago. And our big concern is that we're going to get her some psychological help, but she is such, you know, in other words, at that level of suffering, we don't know what went on. We do know one thing for sure, that the mother had a boyfriend who beat her mother up in front of her and also gave our little Lily a black eye.
Oh,
and
so sorry.
Obviously the courts have done the right thing, but I just pray that some of this damage will not be long-lasting. She's only three.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I am so sorry.
I know.
Well, Denise, you've got a lot of people now praying, all right? A lot
That's
of people
what
praying
I told
to
them.
Girl. And look, prayer, I have confidence in this prayer. I have confidence that God hears these prayers, how much he loves that little girl. And we're going to pray for healing for the mother. We're going to pray for whatever psychological damage, if there is any, that God can touch that right now and heal it. So I want you to be at peace. I want you to put your trust in the Lord. He says, I'm always supporting you. Lean on me as you struggle. Fear nothing. And that's what we have to do. So I'm going to pray right now. I know so many souls are praying. And Lord, I give you this little girl. I give you all those who are the victim of abuse, all those who are the victims of drugs and alcohol. And Lord, I just ask for your healing. You said to have great confidence in you, because you are our Father, even when we endure storms and trials. So we place our confidence in you. And I really believe right now, and I'm gonna pray this with great faith, that this girl's gonna be okay, that she's gonna be fine. And the reason I pray that, because the Lord told St. Faustina, people don't know the scope of our Lord's mercy, and we don't pray for big enough things. So I'm going to bring this girl to the Lord right now. I'm going to ask him to embrace her and to heal her. And Lord, from this moment forward, I just ask that you put into motion all those things that will restore this girl and her family to health and to healing. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Rhode Island next. April is praying with us there. Good afternoon, April.
Hi. Hey. Drew, thank you for taking my call. You actually prayed with me, I believe it was either Christmas Eve or the day before of 2020. Right. Really bad depression. I had tried to commit suicide. And once again, for February of this year, I tried to commit suicide. But the good news is I was playing the Divine Mercy Chaplet over and over again. And finally, the peace and grace of God came over me, and the Lord said, it's not your time.
Amen.
And I begged for him to find me the right doctor, the right medication, and the right hospital. And he did just that. And within a week and a half time, I was April again. And I give God all the glory.
Wow.
And I've seen miracle after miracle since I've been well.
Oh, praise God.
The Lord's working so powerful in my life now.
Well, I love it. And April, thanks for calling and sharing that, because you know something. God works through medicine. He works through our physicians.
Amen.
And that prayer of the chaplet puts things in the motion, right? It put things in the motion for you. You've got the right treatment, the right medication. I know God's got great things in store for you. So you keep praying,
Amen.
You know, keep frequenting the sacraments, stay in touch with that physician.
Amen.
And let's pray together now. We'll pray in thanksgiving for you, for your health, for your continued healing, and for all those. Lord, I pray for those now who are struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts. Those who have these ideations, those who don't think life is worth living, those who need proper balance in their medication. I know a girl who's schizophrenic, and she began to feel better, stopped taking her medication, and then she began to hallucinate, and terrible things happened. And Lord, I ask for the healing of all those who struggle in this area. I pray for their loved ones, too, who are struggling in their own special way. So I give you April. I give you all united with me in prayer now. We give you thanks, Lord, for the way you answer our prayers, and we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Now, of course, you can send me your intentions, drew@relevantradio.com. That's our show email. And send me your answer prayers there too, please. And then, of course, Twitter, @DrewMarianiShow. And you know, Maggie monitors our Twitter account, and I know she's going to bring forward a number of people who are asking for your prayers as well. So, Maggie, who's writing? What can we pray for?
Yeah, we've got a lot of prayers coming in today, Drew. First of all, I'd just like to say a quick prayer for Steve, who's asking for strength in his marriage and with his family right now. Also, Doug, who is being treated for cancer, let's pray for healing. Karina writes to us and says that her friend Reynaldo is suffering from addiction. She's praying for his conversion. And she also prays that her sons may be protected from all evils and temptations. Angela is writing to us asking for prayers for Afghanistan and Lebanon, both countries falling apart and people suffering. So true. Wanda asks for prayers for her husband and his new diagnosis. Hopefully we're praying for healing. And then one last one here. Please pray for miracles. This is from Cheryl, for her son's former classmate, Zach, who has a rare genetic disorder. Wow. And his last treatment was not so successful.
Gosh, there's so much suffering, isn't there? It's just amazing. When I sit back, I look at the problems of my life, and they're small compared to some of the crosses people carry. Well, let's bring them to the Lord. We'll bring Stephanie into this intention as well. She's praying with us in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I need prayers for my father, Patrick. He has an inoperable brain tumor, and treatment hasn't worked, and he's currently in the hospital with a bad case of pneumonia.
Sorry to hear that. All right, well, let's pray right now, Stephanie. We'll bring him to the Lord, along with all these other intentions. Lord, we've seen cancerous tumors shrink. We've seen inoperable tumors disappear. I don't know what your will is, Lord, but I do give you Stephanie's father. I give you all those facing impossible situations, those situations where they see no way out. But with you, all things are possible. So we pray, eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Joe is listening in Minnesota. Joe, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I've got an 11-year-old son who has a congenital heart defect, and I am praying for an upcoming doctor visit next week that we have miraculous results.
All right.
And I also pray for all the children who are victims of divorce.
Yeah, amen to that. Joe, I'm sorry to hear what you're going through, but let's pray for your son, all right? 11 years old. What a great age. I know how much you love him. And Lord, I give you this boy. This is, we've been giving you the children today. I give you this child. And I ask that when Joe goes to the doctors with his son and the report comes back, he can rejoice in your infinite, your unfathomable mercy. I just bring this boy to you now. And I ask for miracles as I do every day here, so that they may testify to your mercy and your greater glory. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to the Windy City next. Chicago, Illinois. Anna is praying with us there. Hi, Anna. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I am a teacher. I go back to work on Monday, so I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to accompany me this year, to illuminate me and impart knowledge that all of my students need in a loving, caring, secure, fun, and safe environment for all students and for all teachers, that this year be the best, or one of the best.
I love that.
Even
prayer.
With all the challenges.
Amen to that. Let's pray for your security and for your health, too, and for all your fellow teachers. And Lord, I give you all those wonderful teachers out there that form the next generation. And I just re-echo every one of Anna's intentions there. I ask that this school year be a year filled with tremendous grace and blessing and opportunity and surprises. Just allow this to be a year of your mercy, Lord. I bring that to you. I give you everyone on hold who's waiting to join me now in prayer, and everyone who's united with me, wherever they are listening. And I just come together interceding on their behalf and trusting in your mercy and asking you really to reach out and let your presence and your mercy be felt in visible ways to these souls as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin, most powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
Venerable Mazzucchelli,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Michalenko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for praying with me. Continue to send me your intentions. We're going to pray for you. Continue to join me every day here. Tell others about this. And do me a favor, too. When God works that miracle in your life, and I have so many of them here, I just love it. Please take the time to write and say, hey, Drew, we prayed. I can't believe how God resolved this situation. And send it to me. It's drew@relevantradio.com. God's mercy is great. You might have somebody who's in deep sin right now, who's totally away from God, maybe somebody who's even wounded you and did terrible things to you. There's nothing greater than the mercy of God. I'll share with you a miracle of mercy at Auschwitz when I return. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio Archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
So good to be back with you. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. If you enjoy that prayer, if it has touched your life, if you believe in the mercy of God, then spread it to others. All right? Tell one other person just about our chaplet here on the air, and have them join us. You know, as one person tells another person, and that person tells another person, we rapidly begin to spread the message of God's mercy. And the Lord promised anybody who spread the message of mercy, he would protect like a tender infant, you know, like a mother her tender infant. You know, and they also made another promise, and this one we often recite when we pray the novena of the Divine Mercies around the Great Feast of Mercy, that he said you would shine with a special brilliance in the next life. So spread the message of God's mercy. Get people plugged into the chaplet. We build that prayer family, if you will, and boy, I tell you, a lot of prayers reach the throne of God. And that's why we see, I think, so many miracles. There's so many people praying together. It's just extraordinary. And I'm grateful for it. And, you know, I want you to know, I had a cousin once. Took him home, but he was a wild child, man. He was a partier, right? He did drugs, slept with all sorts of women, did some jail time. I mean, he was a mess. And his mother thought he was really lost. She thought he'd never, ever come to know God. And from her vantage point, it was probably true, but she never stopped praying. She continued to pray for him. And you know what? God's mercy and God's grace reached him. He had a profound, profound conversion. I remember taking him to confession for the first time. He was probably away from the faith for 25 or 30 years. I took him to a priest I know, and man, I sat outside in that parking lot well over an hour waiting for him to get out. But boy, that priest heard one heck of a confession, that's for sure. You know, but that's God's mercy. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, what kind of sins you've committed, how you've offended God or others. God's mercy is there for you. It's his greatest attribute. And you know what? The world needs mercy today. There's no mercy in the world. You know, we're divided into political camps, partisan camps, racial camps. You know, there's no forgiveness. There's no tolerance for one another, right? And as we head, as we plunge really head on into greater chaos, to disorder, I think that's more than ever why we need God's mercy. But we often confuse mercy with somebody deserving a second chance. They're not the same thing. There are some really wonderful examples of great mercy. And one of those is a story I wrote about in my book on divine mercy. I shared the story of the Commandant of Auschwitz. Now, tomorrow, you will remember the death of Maximilian Kolbe. He died in that death camp. So did Edith Stein, and so did a lot of other great Catholics, and many Jews lost their lives, but a lot of saints were there. I prayed at the cell of St. Maximilian Kolbe at that starvation bunker. It was a profound experience. And the men in there, those guards, those commandants, there was one man named Rudolf Hess, right? And I don't want you to confuse him with Rudolf Hess, who was Hitler's right-hand man. Rudolf Hess was in charge of Auschwitz for 3 years. Can you imagine that? This guy would see the killing and the torture, the rape, the horrific happenings behind that barbed wire, and then go home to his family. He oversaw the killing of 2,500,000 people. 2,500,000 people. It was the most notorious death camp the Nazis have ever devised. And I say there's a few places in the world every human being should travel, and I think that is one of those. You know, you can make a case for the Holy Land, of course, but I think we should see man's inhumanity to man so we never, ever repeat something like that. It was Satan's playground, if you will. This guy testified at the Nuremberg trial that, you know, another 500,000 died from disease and starvation under his watch. So he was reassigned at one point, but then he came back to oversee the killing of about 400,000 Hungarian Jews. So this guy was a monster, if you think about it, right? He was an absolute demon. He was called an animal. He was the one who introduced the use of the pesticide Zyklon B into the gas chambers in order to improve the efficiency, you know, of the camp's death chambers. You know how many people they put to death every hour? 2,000 of them. 2,000 people be put to death every hour. So this man of all men, you would think, he's in hell, right? He should be condemned to hell forever for what he did to so many families and so many innocent people. The torture, the death that he has done. He used his intellect and his power to destroy that many. It was just a sin. It was a crime against humanity. But you know what happened? Something happened on the way to the inevitable. When the war ended, he tried to disguise himself as a gardener, right? He tried to escape. Yeah, he was discovered, and he was beaten, actually, by some British soldiers. And they were ordered to stop and stop beating him. He was probably going to be beaten to death. They imprisoned him in Poland, and he was guarded by Polish guards. And he was terrified. Because you know what Auschwitz, what they did to those Polish citizens, horrific. And he was sure that he was going to be killed in that prison. But these Polish guards, they didn't kill him. In fact, they did something that totally baffled him. They treated him kindly. They treated him kindly. It was a turning point for him. And as a result of their act of love, kindness, mercy, he experienced a conversion. Now, what's really interesting, those seeds of our Catholic faith that we plant in our kids, and you think my kid's away from the faith, he's lost, he's doing drugs, she's doing this, they're living in, you know, in, together, they're transgender, whatever, right? Whatever the thing is you're worried about. Those seeds of the Catholic faith, they are planted in the soul, and your prayers as a parent can water them. He was raised Catholic, obviously abandoned his faith, right? Became this monster that he was. But now, having this conversion, he called for a priest. And you know what? And this is tragic. No one wanted to hear his confession. He remembered, though, that there had been one priest, a Jesuit superior, who he had led, he let go at one point because this Jesuit superior, he snuck into the camp to be with his congregation when they were all arrested, right? So this guy snuck into the death camp. And when Huss found him, he let him go. The priest's name was Father Lone, and he was found, and they tracked him down, and he came. He agreed to hear Haas's confession, and again, it went on for a very long time. But Father Lone, granted him absolution. He forgave him of his sins. The next day, Rudolf Haas was to be executed for his crimes. Father brought him communion, gave him viaticum, and he died. He went to his death. Now, just to put that in perspective for you, that is the radical kind of mercy that God has for us, okay? The most wretched of sinners can have conversion. The most wretched of people are entitled to God's mercy. The Lord said, the greater the sinner, the greater the right they have to my mercy. The greater the sinner, the greater the right that they have to my mercy. And I know somebody has hurt you. And part of you doesn't want to give them mercy. Part of you wants them to rot in hell. Part of you wants them to suffer what you suffered. But we really are called to turn to those who persecute us, as Christ did as he hung on a cross, and forgive those who do that to us. It's hard. It goes against our natural inclination. But we're going to want the mercy of God. You know, it's the same kind of mercy that God showed to Bernard Nathanson. I don't know if you know his story. He was a man who admitted to committing, I think he did something like 75,000 abortions himself. Think of the dollars in that, right? But he murdered 75,000 children. Think of those procedures. And, you know, God's grace is always working. Those prayers of people for an end to the culture of death, for the conversion of those in these industries, it works. He saw the reality of what he was doing, and he converted. And he eventually became Catholic. And he was so overwhelmed by the guilt, the enormity of his crimes. He thought, gosh, can they really be washed away in God's sight simply by being baptized? He took that leap of faith. He did it, and he became a fresh, newborn babe, if you will, right? A new soul. This is the kind of God that you and I worship. This is the kind of God that we serve, one who wants so desperately for you to share in his life that he's willing to forgive the most heinous things that we've done against him. Think about that. His own creation, his own children, those he created and gave his life for. He wants us to be with him. Wants us to be with him. Of course, once this happens, you have to start exercising the same kind of mercy. So I want to speak to those of you who today are listening to this, and you know you've been raped, and you can't forgive that person. I'm not saying you have to forget, and I certainly don't want to undermine the need for justice, but we are called to offer mercy to that partner, that person of yours that maybe aborted the child you didn't want aborted, the person that cheated you in business, or that spouse who was unfaithful, the person that got your kid hooked on drugs, the person that beat you. These are hard things. These are really hard things to do. But we are called to extend mercy. And we've got to extend the same kind of mercy towards others so we can become more like Christ. That's what the Lord wants from us, to be like him so that we can love him as he deserves to be loved. And that's hard for all of us to do. But I'll tell you what, it will bring us closer to him in love. I love that story. I love the story of Rudolf Haas. And it's hard. And look, I'm no saint. I got to be honest with you. I wish I was. I work on it. I do. Forgiveness is hard. I remember my reaction. My son one night was coming out. He lived in Milwaukee at the time. He was in college, I think. And he got done watching some basketball game with his buddies or something. And he was walking back to his place. And couple guys pulled up in a car, and they got out, and he said, oh, man, I really like your car. He made some comment about the car, right? I don't know whether they misinterpreted him or what they heard, but they came out, and he swears he got hit in the jaw by the butt of a gun. These guys cold cocked him. They hit him so hard, it shattered his jaw, right? I get a phone call from him in the middle of the night, garbled. Dad, I'm going to the hospital. I could barely make out words, right? And I'm thinking, my wife, meanwhile, she's frantic. It's the middle of the night. It's 3 a.m. He was on his way to the hospital is what he said. And, you know, we were probably 2 hours away from where he was, and we wouldn't be able to get there right away. And I just said to my wife, I said, we have to pray, and let's be at peace. But my reaction internally was I wanted to curse these people who did this to him. I wanted them to, you know, I was filled with vengeance. I was filled with anger. I wanted harm and ill will for those souls. And that's the antithesis of really what I was called to do. And I had to say to the Lord after, in my heart, as it grew dark and my mind grew bitter, and I just wanted, you know, as a parent, you know, you just want that vengeance. But vengeance is God. You just, if I could have done it, I would have. And thank God I don't have that kind of power, right? So then I knew what I had to do. And really, forgiveness is an act of the will. And I had to, instead of cursing this person, and literally curses have power. I want you to know that when you curse someone, there is a power with that. That's a whole nother conversation. I'm not going to get into that now, but I had to literally stop in my bed that night and instead ask God to forgive me for those thoughts and those intentions. And I prayed for the person that did this to him. And I prayed for the person who did that to my son. And I wasn't even the one who received it. I'm not the one that had my jaw broken and had to be wired shut for 6 weeks, you know, and eat out of a straw. That wasn't me. So I just want to challenge you today. I think the Lord works in mysterious ways sometimes. Sometimes you hear something because the Lord wants you to hear it, because you are meant to hear that. So you may not feel it. You may not even want to offer that forgiveness or extend that mercy, but it is an act of the will. And I'll tell you what, God will honor you and bless you for it. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, I'll change gears, but we'll talk about something a little lighter. How about Catholic celebrities? What about Britney Spears? What about Simone Biles? I saw a great piece just recently in The Pillar. Talk a little bit about some of these Catholic celebrities Instagramming and then deleting. And, you know, I don't know if you heard the latest news on that. I'm supposedly Catholic. I'll fill you in on the latest when I come back. Stay with me.
Proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
My favorite thing about being Catholic is our understanding of the Eucharist and what it means for Jesus to be truly present in the Holy Communion. That's my favorite thing. That gives me a lot of peace in my soul. And it just makes everything about being Catholic make sense to me.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was Jonathan Romey, the star actor who plays Jesus in the series The Chosen, and talking about being Catholic. Coming up in just a moment, Ed Condon is going to be stopping by. I want to talk a little bit about some of these Catholic celebrities. There's a lot of confusion out there right now over some of the things we've been hearing, and we'll get you plugged into a great website, too. It's new, but boy, I'll tell you, their journalism has been off the charts. They should be up for an investigative award. We'll get to that. Before I do that, I just want to grab a quick call. Martha's listening to us in Wisconsin. I was just talking about mercy and how we have to extend it to others, even when it's difficult, even when we've been deeply wounded and hurt. And my board operator, my call screener today, Patrick Alog, was telling me Martha was abused by someone. I want to hear her story very quickly. Martha, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I had wanted to call this story in before when you talk about the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Sure.
And when I was 5, I was abused by an adult man. And I automatically, in my heart, just something came over me and I forgave him.
Wow.
But the interesting part of the story is when he was dying, and I didn't know this, I was driving on a trip to visit my parents. I'm an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this feeling, a thought in my head to say, and I said Divine Mercy Chaplet all the time. I prayed it. And to say a Divine Mercy chaplet for this person. And I did. And then I found out, it was a relative, I found out about 7 days later that he passed away.
Wow.
And after I said the Divine Mercy chaplet. So I just always thought that was really amazing.
Well, there's no coincidence in God. I mean, that's for sure. And, you know, the Lord told St. Faustina, as I know you know, that prayer, especially in that final moment for souls, can mean the difference in their eternal salvation. He says, you know, he told Faustina, he says, you know, this prayer can obtain trust for those souls when they have at least, and that the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls in that final moment depends on our prayer. So what a beautiful testimony, Martha. And I know you're going to see the fruit of that prayer one day when you can see with the perfect vision of the afterlife. But thank you for your witness, and thank you for calling in to share that. I'd love to have you call back again, and we'll talk more. Again, maybe God's speaking to you today. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to show mercy. We're called to do so. And I'll tell you what, when you do that, when you let go, when you forgive, you break the chain that ultimately binds you to that person that hurt you. You set yourself free in some respects. I've had my own experiences where people have hurt me. I got burned in a business once by somebody, and it wasn't until I forgave the person that I really felt that freedom and that liberty. Anyway, we could talk all day about this, couldn't we? It's good to be here with you. I do want to bring some clarity to an issue that is floating out there, and there might be some confusion over Britney Spears. Let's talk about it. Pray for her, okay? Really, pray for her and for her family. 39 years old. It's got to be hard being young and making a lot of money, a lot of fame. She hasn't made necessarily the smartest decisions in the world. Her father, you know, was the conservator over her. She's been in court to get that changed, and her father this week said that he's going to step down, so he's no longer going to be the conservator. But the Mississippi native made headlines earlier in the week or last week. I remember sharing this story with you. She posted a photo of herself on Instagram, you know, and saying, "Hey, I just got back from Mass. I'm Catholic now. Let's pray," right? And the posting has subsequently been deleted. It's not clear why. Maybe her handlers didn't want it out there. It brought a lot of reaction. It brought especially a lot of call to prayer. People were praying for Brittany. And, you know, we'll try to bring you some clarity on that issue coming up here. But there's another Catholic celebrity that got a lot of social media attention last week. Of course, the Olympics dominate it, right? The greatest of all time, Olympic gymnast Simone Biles. She's known to ask for Saint Sebastian's intercession. She said to, you know, carry her rosary with her wherever she went. Came out in social media and shocked a lot of people who knew her as a Catholic, saying that she's definitely pro-choice. And she claimed that she, you know, being raised in a foster system showed her that it's not a place you want to raise a kid. So maybe that has somehow clouded her judgment on that issue. And, of course, that brought instant criticism and condemnation. I just say let's pray for both of these people. Let's be merciful. The question, though, of these cases is, are we placing too much stock in celebrities and their faith lives? I root for them. When I hear about it, I'm like, great, because their power, their platform control other souls maybe to the Catholic faith. Here to talk a little bit about it, give us some perspective and some follow-up on the stories, Ed Condon. He believes we might be placing a little too much stock in all this. He's the co-founder of the Catholic news site, The Pillar. You've got to check it out, okay? You can find them online, pillarcatholic.com. They've been around just months. Pillarcatholic.com. They did some incredible investigative journalism recently. And Ed, it's good to have you here with me today. I know you're a practicing canon lawyer. Hope you guys submit for some investigative awards. You certainly deserve them.
Well, thanks very much, and thanks for having me.
It's great. So let's talk a little bit about celebrities, if we could, for a second. Just put perspective. You wrote recently about what you call the commodification of these celebrities. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean that I think a lot of they're on social media or even in media want to see Catholic celebrity. They want to see Catholic celebrities. They want to read about them. And I think a lot of this is motivated by the fact that we are, as Catholics, we know ourselves to be, in a sense, cultural outsiders, that Christianity has at its core a countercultural message and witness. And at the same time, we feel acutely that we're outsiders, and we want to see ourselves reflected in the mainstream, in popular culture. And I think it leads us a lot of times to putting a lot of stock in celebrity Catholics who are, you know, just happen to be famous, not famous for being Catholics, but famous because of their day jobs, whether it's as a singer or an actor or an athlete or whatever else it is. And I think we load them with a lot of expectation that, you know, frankly, they don't deserve in the best sense, that, you know, they are just ordinary Catholics in the pews like the rest of us, that, you know, your fame doesn't impart you any special education in the faith. It doesn't equip you to speak for or about the faith in a public way, in any special sense. And I think we look to celebrities, you know, aspirationally in a lot of ways, whether, you know, it's in sports or media or music or whatever else. But when we do it in faith, we load them with a lot of expectations that, frankly, they're just not equipped to meet.
Yeah, you know, I see, you know this as well as I do. There's a lot of Catholics out there who don't know their faith at all, right? And why should we expect these Catholic celebrities to be on point with their faith as well? I think about Simone Biles, who lived through foster care. She might love her faith, pray a rosary, turn to the saints. She might be wrong on this issue, as a lot of Catholics are, unfortunately. You see how Catholics vote in this country as well. You take a look at Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, too, very prominent Catholics who are really, off point when it comes to what the church teaches. What do we know about Simone Biles? Let's talk about her for a moment. You know, you saw her in the Olympics. Is she Catholic, and is she just wrong on this particular issue? Has foster care influenced it? What do we know about her faith and her position?
Well, we know that she is Catholic, and we know this because a lot of people, you know, focused on this in a very positive way in the run-up to the Olympics, that she was, you know, if you like, quote-unquote, one of us heading into the Tokyo Games, and in earlier Olympic Games for that matter, too. But, of course, the other thing we know about Simone Biles, and I think is not irrelevant when discussing the post that she shared announcing herself to be very pro-choice, as she put it, and believing wholeheartedly in the slogan, "My Body, My Choice," is she's also a victim survivor of serial sexual abuse someone who was placed in a position of considerable authority and trust over her. And, you know, at least for me, looking in from the outside, I can understand why the mantra of "My Body, My Choice" would appeal to someone who's lived through that horrific experience, even if it's, you know, completely misapplied in the context of abortion. And, you know, I think when we're talking about celebrity Catholics and reminding ourselves, hopefully, that, you know, in the church's eyes, they're no different than any other Catholic in the pews. You know, like you said, a lot of the Catholics have some sort of support for abortion in the United States, be it qualified or unqualified. And, you know, being a celebrity doesn't make you any more prone to insights in the church's teaching. And if we have, as it seems to me we do, a real failure of catechesis in large parts of the church in the United States, we need to recognize that and treat people with a bit of humanity when, even as we're saying, look, this thing that you've said is wrong.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm with you. Clearly she doesn't understand, and I do believe, and I've said this for a long time, there is a tremendous crisis of catechism, catechesis in our country. There's no doubt about that. Britney Spears deleted her post, so I'm curious if you know anything about that. I haven't done a whole lot of research into the issue. I know her mother is Catholic. I think one of her sisters is Catholic. Is Britney a Catholic? What do you make of her post?
I have no idea if Britney Spears is a Catholic or not. Obviously, I hope she either is or is on the road to becoming one, as I would hope that anyone would be on the road to becoming a Catholic. But I mean, there again, you know, I saw her post the same as most people, and, you know, while I don't know what it means, I don't know if it was, you know, that she's on the road to a conversion to the faith, or if it was some sort of, you know, lighthearted joke or something. I don't know, but either way, you know, I saw a lot of reaction online that was, you know, basically fairly aggressive and negative.
Yeah.
You know, referencing her past work as a musician and, you know, some of the videos she's made and things. And I just thought, you know, if this is the reaction we have to people who are, we can assume at least possibly sincerely seeking the faith, you know, what is that? What kind of Christian witness does that give?
I'm so with you on that. I mean, I root for these people. When I hear that they're thinking about becoming Catholic, or they are Catholic, I really hope that they can come into the sacramental life of the church and truly embrace what the church teaches, because they're going to find freedom. And through the power of their platform, I mean, others may come home or they may come into the faith as well. I only have about a minute or two left. I want to put a plug in for your website, too, if we could, Ed. I mean, I know it's relatively new. You've been doing great work. Why don't you fill everyone in on the pillar, if you could, and what you're doing and how they can follow you?
Sure. Well, we launched the pillar back in January of this year. Myself and my colleague, J.D. Flynn, and I have been working in Catholic News for a fair few years now. We're both also canon lawyers. And really, we set it up as a project and platform for us to do the kind of long-form investigative work that, you know, we really had a hard time doing when we were chasing the 24-hour news cycle. So we really gave ourselves the challenge of stepping back from the daily news cycle and rolling our sleeves up and getting into some of the stuff that we were really interested in and felt that we didn't have the time to do in other places. So we've had some success so far. We've been very grateful for the readers that we've had, and we certainly need and want more. So anyone can check it out. It's at pillarcatholic.com.
Well, that story you did on Grindr, I'm sure probably swelled your numbers. It was great journalism, and really grateful to have you with me today. I'm out of time, though. I look forward to our next conversation. Keep up your good reporting, okay? Look forward to the next time we can talk.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Ed Condon. I've got to take a short pause. Your news and headlines are straight ahead. Check out pillarcatholic.com. Pillarcatholic.com. That's the website. When we return, I'll tell you what Apple's doing. They may be scanning your iPhone for images. Wait till you hear this one.